We'll walk walking fields of gold.
Just getting clobbered by technology today, apparently. Do we still have Paul?
I'm here, Chris. Hello?
Hey, Paul.
Okay.
Brutal day for technology, apparently.
Yeah. One more point, though, if you'd be so kind before I go, right, concerning Jesse Lee Peterson, because this has to do with just my my own way of looking at the world. And I don't want to insult Mr. Peterson, but this is the way it goes with bachelors. Whenever I hear about a bachelor who's too, you know, been around for years now, Jesse Lee Peterson, he's a tall man, I read. He's like 6'5". And he's going to have money from all his gigs, right? So let's be honest. Women should be flocking to him, right? Right? And so any man who goes along for that long and he's got money, I'm going to be suspicious that they're homosexuals. Now, if he's keeping it in the closet, if he's not, that's one thing. Maybe he's just doesn't have a strong sex drive. That's not my business. Neither is it him being if he's gay. But the thing is, I respect if he is keeping it in the closet. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like with Lindsey Graham, too. Like, that's old school. You know what I mean? So I respect that. You know,
interesting
that you're
fodder.
I'm keeping that in the closet. But deep down inside, when I see guys, I immediately think, money, good looks, or decent looks, how come they're not married, right? And now, one of my aspects of marriage, and you might find this interesting, and I'll tell you, this has to do with when I see, like, black millionaire sports guys who marry white women, and I always think, why couldn't they marry a black poor woman and lift her out of their poverty? You know what I mean? When you got like a $100 million basketball player like a Charles Barkley, right? And so sometimes they think, why? I wish he had married like a black woman. And that goes for even for our Supreme Court justice. You know, it's like they're wealthy black men, and I would prefer, it would be so much nicer if they married one of their own women with less money, because like I said about marriage, it's a great way to transfer money to someone with no taxes. You know? And so that's the one thing about marriage, is it's you're not only sharing a life and ideally making children, but you're also transferring your wealth to mostly women. I mean, it's, to me, among women, it's the fastest way to get rich ever. You know, any young, attractive woman, I mean, the move is find a guy with a decent job, get married, and have children, you know? So then when you're older...
You're just trampling through the field of taboos, kicking over sacred cows. It's interesting.
Well, I don't think I'm kicking him over. I'm just saying the nitty-gritty of marriage, some of the benefits that people aren't going to say in public. Because remember, everybody in public, it's all about love, 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 love.
Well, I wish it was. I don't think that's the case in America anymore. I think that America is, when it comes to marriage, I mean, even what you're saying lends itself to what I was saying about Machiavelli yesterday. I mean, I see a picture of Machiavelli when I see America today. So,
right, but then remember, in the old days, it used to be about a legacy, passing down your paternal name to your children, to transfer your wealth. Remember, back in the old days, too, there was hardly any, if any, inheritance tax. So it was a transfer and keeping of a family nuclear, not just, you know, with family name patrilinearly. And really, a lot of it was usually was not about love. Love was a more later, more romantic type of thing. I would argue probably, you know, like more for your mistress than for your wife, right, in the old days. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it just, but I'm just saying there's the cutthroat reality of it, you know, but if I'm such a cutthroat, then why am I so promoting the welfare of the children? I can't be that completely evil because, right, the primary thing is to have children and provide allegiance to the family so the family is together while the children become adults. That's the primary objective of marriage.
Well, I can hear, before we part company here on this call, I can hear people asking, so what, you know, you talked about Jesse Lee Peterson, people will ask, well, what is your marital status, Paul?
I'm married.
Okay.
And I have a son.
So there you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
And I plan on staying married, right, because there's my wife's fantastic, so there's no reason to come unmarried. So sorry, all you single ladies out there, I'm spoken for.
But it's not just a political alliance in your case, because that's the picture that I get. I've sort of generally categorized marriage in America today as more of a political alliance with affection, is what I would call it, than based on love. And I think love is an interesting thing that you grow into. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the definitive statement on love, I would say, what it is. It's not, you know, it's not just a mud puddle you step in. And sometimes you grow in love through work and applied effort and, you know, hardship and things that you experience together. What do you think?
I absolutely agree, and it's not just your subjective feelings, because subjective feelings can be absolutely cutthroat. You know, one of the, I forget who the evolutionist
or misleading.
Yeah, because an interesting thing is an evolutionist, I think, said that emotions are evolution's executioners, was the saying. And I think, you know, when you think about how many divorces are because of the feelings and emotions. And the fact of the matter is, I'm sorry, but there's an element of, like, duty, obligation. You know, you might have your feelings and, like, oh, I'm not getting along with my husband or vice versa. But what about your children's feelings if you break up the nuclear family and now you made it basically a miserable life for the children, you know, because they have to switch, you know, like go to visit the one spouse on weekends and then they stay with the other spouse. And then, of course, the father is going to be angrier and lose a lot of resources because of alimony. And so it basically brings the children through a horrible situation when if the parents just toughed it out for a few more years. And I know a family like this that are in the process of going through with this, and they divorce when the kids are about 12 years old. On average. And it's like, why don't you just stick it out another 6 years and try to work out your differences behind closed doors for the good of the children, or just put on a happy facade and a brave face and try to soldier through it and then work it out later, you know, because of their subjective feelings, you know? And
right.
So, And you can change your feelings. You can work it out. Like, maybe you need a little separation. Maybe you should go on a separate hunting trips or bring the son out, you know, and maybe the mother and the daughter go one way for a bit or for vacation, and they visit the other, you know, in-laws, that kind of thing, if you're not getting along. But at least come back together for most of the year and, you know, have dinners and just try to be cordial. Right, but to get back to my one point, too, though, I think it really helps, like, if you marry somebody with common, like, political worldview, so you don't have that.
Gosh, that's funny, because that's what the Bible says. Do not become unequally yoked. Yeah.
Yeah, which, so that, but
you know, that is a
And that's why in the old days, arranged marriages, you know, make a lot of sense. And I think for, you know, the kids in this world today and with the MGTOW movement and all the rest of that, I mean, it's that we almost should go to arranged marriages. And nobody explains to the kids, you know, like, listen, marriage is good. You just, you know, find somebody similar to yourself and get to it and just commit yourselves. And before you know, when you have children, you know, all the petty grievances and fights, they go away. The kids, you know, young children are a very unifying, you know, thing to have. You know, it really brings you together when you're, the common goal is to get that kid to adulthood as a happy, well-adjusted adult. You know, is that your, that's your goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's,
anyway, Chris, I'll let you go. Yeah, I'll let you go and let others call in, but thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate your call. Interesting fodder. You know, again, I think the bifurcation in my mind is there's marriage, and then there's a thing called what I would call a political alliance with a faction, and that incorporates all these things. You know, again, the Machiavellian discussion from yesterday, the kinds of things that Paul was just talking about that people do for their own gain or advantage, and that's not loving. You know, while I'm on the subject, actually just grabbed that real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the definitive statement on the subject. And then Ephesians 5 on the subject of marriage. But 1 Corinthians 13, what is love? Love is patient. How is it categorized? How can you identify it? Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And that's just an interesting concept to ruminate on, I think. Ephesians 5 talks about the relationship of the husband and wife, but Malachi chapter 2, the subject of divorce, you know, it's just kind of interesting. I was going to say, speaking of this, it's interesting what sort of dynamics come into view in relation to marriage and just how this subject of chain of command in God's economy, so to speak, is very important. So Malachi chapter 2 reads in verse 13, this is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. Treachery is another interesting word. And I have a note to see Proverbs 13. Or excuse me, 14, on the issue of treachery, and maybe we'll touch on that before we go back to the phones. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps. Ready to race to you. These days are
So the subject of treachery, and, you know, God basically saying, hey, I don't want to hear from you until you get this issue straightened out in Malachi chapter 2. And just a quick word on that. So the issue of treachery, take heed then to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. And that's the, you know, not the, yeah. And him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. And treachery is an interesting word. Noah Webster says a violation of allegiance or of faith and confidence. And that's treachery. But I have a note, Proverbs 14, on the issue of treachery. Proverbs 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is treacherous. What is treachery? And the synonyms that I have are unfaithful, traitorous, deceptive, untrustworthy, unreliable, unstable, insecure, dangerous, hazardous, disloyal. And there are several corresponding passages. But that's, to me, again, we have sort of a bifurcation going on. You know, there are the political issues that Paul talked about that marriage has been conscripted to, I would say. You know, there are biblical connotations. That's a different conversation. But that's not
the way things are supposed to be. And so you have, again, you have this, there is this sort of widening disparity. There are, and in one context, you could call it rulers and ruled, which is another conversation that we have had on this broadcast. And certain folks maintain a certain amount of or degree of integrity, and there are nuances and dynamics to that, which is why I got into As a Man Thinketh as just a sort of primer to prime the pump on thought and ruminating on those sorts of concepts and discussion. But, you know, again, to me, it comes back to the issue of integrity and sincerity versus treachery. So that's where I'll leave that for right now. We'll go back to the phones and grab Jerry in Texas. Jerry, thanks for calling. Welcome. Sure, you're working, Jerry. Thanks for your patience. I apologize for the delay.
Jerry or John?
I guess John. Thanks for, yeah. Sorry for,
okay, well,
thanks for your patience too, John.
Well, that's fine. I haven't been on that long. Excellent call by Paul. I gotta commend him. Really do. He's talking about arranged marriages, Chris. And so let me say this. Arranged marriages are a good thing. Depends on who you allow to arrange your marriage.
Well, that's part of, exactly, yeah.
And that's part of what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say that is part of the Numbers chapter 30 discussion, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway.
Frightened, Sarah immediately called her mom to come.
I hear
get
a break coming up. When Vicky and Aaron unless picked her up,
both mother and daughter noticed something that would be.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess we're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
He had lifted his hand up, and I'm like, "Oh my God, why is his hand so big?" What I didn't know at that.
We're in another radio program, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is. Anyway.
Okay, well, if you want me to continue.
Yeah, go ahead. We're about.
Aside, okay. I'm going on 41 years of marriage to the same woman. I never knew her, Chris. I grew up two blocks away from her in Detroit and never knew her. I knew I needed to be married. I never looked for a wife. I met her after they moved and we moved and I was in the military and came out. That's when I met my wife. So the marriage was arranged probably before her or I, either one, were born. So that's an arranged marriage. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. But it's pretty doggone good. So that's one thing. The other thing with all of your problems you're having with broadcasts today. Electronic glitches and computer glitches. Well, there's this Prince and Power of the Airwaves. and apparently you've been hitting the nail firmly on the head because the message, he's doing a great deal to try and discourage the truth from coming out. That's where the battle's at. Whether anyone chooses to believe it or agree with me or not, that's what we're fighting. Mm-hmm. At every hand, Chris, at every hand. So yep. I guess that's about all I had. I just want to encourage you. And again, Paul, thanks for your call. It was excellent. For an agnostic, you're putting forth some pretty sound principles.
Yeah.
Marriage, if you'll allow me, I'll make one more comment when I come back.
Sure. Yep. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink. for a gentle taste great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. LifeChange Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea, and YouTube, Health Matters Now, that's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, August 28th, 2019, it seems like we've stabilized. We've leveled off in the craziness of technology. So far, I probably should knock on something or whatever. But we're on the phones. We have John in Tennessee on the line. Go ahead, John.
Okay, just a couple more quick comments. Paul, like I said, man, you're right on point. Now, the word cleave is in the Bible a couple times that I can think of. In Genesis, husband and wife will cleave together, and the two become one flesh. You know, well, I'm, truthfully, guys, I'm nothing much without my wife. She finishes me. But when we came together, the two became one flesh three times, three children. The two become one flesh. And they cleave together. And you can look at your children and you see characteristics, genetic and otherwise. They have my wife's beauty and, you know, I mean, she does a lot for the kids.
Yeah.
Okay. So the two become one flesh.
There's another visual that I would like to offer that I heard a girl, young girl, teenager actually, at Crossover Church in Spokane one time, talk a little bit about this subject, you know, cleaving and divorce and things. And so she had glued two pieces of construction paper together, basically sort of back to front or whatever. And so they're just glued on top of each other. And she said, so this is what happens in divorce. And she tried to pull the pieces apart. And obviously they were all torn and disfigured and had what I would call a lack of integrity at that point. And so that is what happens, obviously. The cleaving, definitely in the children, but also in, I would say, a very literal sense of two people.
Absolutely.
In their lives, because, certainly.
Because every marriage that I've seen, my sister, for instance, has been married 4 or 5 times. She's done it. She chose the wrong one because she chose it, the one, for 4 or 5 times. Now, here's another instance of the word cleave in the Bible. Iron mingling with clay, and the two will not cleave. They're weak. Now, when it comes down to it, that's what divorce is. Divorce is a satanic way of destroying. The iron and clay is not necessarily God's creation. He allows it, but he doesn't do it. Not his desire. So he hates divorce because it literally destroys the temple of God that he has prepared to dwell in. The book says God doesn't dwell in a temple made with hands. Well, and then Christ said, know ye not that your body is the temple? So the destruction of the temple, the tearing down of the temple, in New Testament times, is the destruction and destroying of the race called man. I'm not even going to say human, but the race of man. God made man in his image. And that's why he hates divorce, not only because of the heartache and hurt, but if you're getting married with and you're not having children, then you're getting married for, I can only think of two possible reasons. Financial or sexual. You want the pleasure, but not the responsibility. You want to be able to do the marriage pact, the husband and wife thing, without the responsibility of what God intended to come from it. Now, there's a difference if a man or a woman cannot have children, but you're not even supposed to find that. This is, you talk about old fashioned. You're not even supposed to know that until you're married, whether or not you can or can't. You're not supposed to really have any idea.
So, and even even when you think you know, just ask Sarah. Sometimes that changes, you know. I'm an old woman. How am I going to have kids? So who knows?
And she didn't, and he, well, look, we know that. Christians know that. But there's just things that are a matter of fact. And when I tell people, and, even in the church, the two become one flesh, I get crazy.
Well, and back to the subject of children. I mean, the biblical perspective is it's all in God's hands. It's all in his purview. It's not for us to worry. There are lots of passages that correspond to that. But even in a worldly context, if you will, maybe setting the Bible aside for a second, I've heard lots of people tell the story that, you know, they were told they couldn't have children, you know, for whatever reason, and they end up having children. So I think that, to me, I've heard that so many times, I can't help but think that there's some sort of eugenicist theme that underlies all of that. And I'm not saying that every doctor is a eugenicist. I'm just saying there's probably something in training somewhere or technology that leads them to believe something that obviously is not true in every case. And it's not true in enough cases that I would think that's provocative. If I were in that profession and I was trained to see something and say, oh, because of this, you can't have children, and I keep seeing people that are having children in spite of that, that would cause me, I think, to reexamine what I thought I knew about that.
Well, and the more you get into this and look at it, Chris, the life of the body really is in the blood, and it is and has been for probably eons about the Rh factor in the blood. So you got to ask yourself, are there certain bloodlines that are a threat to certain other bloodlines? And if the certain other bloodlines that are what we call blue bloods, or maybe a different species, don't necessarily want the other bloodline to come to fruition because they're a great threat. So they may, you know, and I know it's, you talk about a conspiracy, but it's been going on since
Hold on.
The start.
Hold on, I gotta pack up my swab in my 23andMe kit. No, it's Ancestry.com. Never mind. Sorry, I gotta pack up my swab real quick and send it off.
Yeah, or you know, poop in a box and go have it tested for cancer. Don't you know? When it's all data collection, man. It's all it is. Look, if I've got cancer, who cares, man? I've got an appointment, and this sounds outrageous. I've got an appointment to die. I don't want to rush it, and I don't want to be late. And you say, well, that's fatalistic. No, because that appointment is in someone's hands other than me. Not only do I not have a right to prolong it without asking, hey, God, can you give me another 10 years? Can you give me another 20? I don't have a right to put it off, and I have no right to rush it. Because it's not in my hands. I'm not the creator. Do I want to die? No. Am I ready? Absolutely. Whenever he wants me to go, I'm gone. I can't. I have no power over life and death. And there, like I said before, Paul, you know, two men can't have a baby yet. Two women can't have a child
well,
yet.
Speaking
two
of that, I will...
That are male.
Yeah. One comment I was going to make to that is a fact, but it's a fact that has been attacked, I would say, directly. I mean, I know a young child who was asked. He is the Well, I don't even know how to say that. I guess I'll just say his answer to the question, when he was on the playground talking to some schoolmates, he was asked, so, you know, who's your dad? Because he believes that he has two mothers. That's the situation that he finds himself
right.
in. And so, you know, when he was asked by one of the other kids, he, Who's your dad? He said, literally no one, which obviously is not true. So,
well,
he just doesn't know his father. Imagine.
Paul may not know it, but in China, they have actually taken two male mice, tweaked DNA, removed a chromosome, implanted it in a female mouse, and the mouse that were the offspring of the two male mice with altered DNA have no DNA of the female mouse that was the womb, but DNA of both the fathers. So if it's possible 10 years ago in China with mice, you bet your dollar they have the technology and may be doing it and not telling you.
Or your Dolly the sheep, yeah.
Right? Yeah. All right, well, I don't want to end it on a dark note, and it's really not, but if you... I know I'm dying, okay? Chris, I know you're dying. I know Paul's dying. Fearful? Well, I don't know. It depends on your point of view and where you have your faith and trust. We're all dying. We don't know when. The blessing, the desired effect is to be ready because we know it's coming. Be ready.
Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you, John. Much appreciated. So, let's see if we can make this even more interesting. It's been interesting. It definitely hasn't gone the way I expected. That probably goes without saying, mainly because of the technology issues. But so I mentioned Ephesians 5. There's an interesting thing that has happened, and I mean, I'll just put it this way. We have been conned in this society for, I would say, you know, we could say there's been a serious conning happening for at least 100 years now. More than that, but, you know, it just keeps, it's a more concentrated and virulent strain with each passing generation, decade, year. But, you know, you think of the efforts of Edward Bernays. By 1928, Bernays had written Propaganda. And you think of the intrigue that gave us the Federal Reserve, the so-called income tax, you know, the so-called Federal Reserve, the so-called income tax, and these kinds of things. So there were some folks at work in their Machiavellian efforts of intrigue and sophistry and manipulation to lead people to believe one thing under a specious guise to do something nefarious. And so in those efforts, for example, you have folks like the Rockefeller family admitting that the income tax is a variety of things, but nothing that you would be led to believe. And so, for example, it was a way to fracture the nuclear family, so to speak, break down the integrity that I, you know, in the orthodoxy that I was referring to earlier, and double the taxable wage base, and obviously pull mothers away from their children. The central banking scheme is a great way to introduce the invisible tax of inflation. The income tax adds additional financial friction and is a tremendous control mechanism, a weapon, essentially, in the hands of certain folks. And it's a way to keep people in line. And, you know, there are a lot of interesting sort of parallel discussions that we could have based on what we introduced with Jesse Lee Peterson's video clip. One that comes to my mind is, you know, you think about what he's saying to this gentleman. And again, I don't agree with everything that Jesse Lee Peterson said, but it's interesting when you look at certain things. I mean, one picture that I have seen on more than one occasion in Spokane, Washington, in particular, on the streets of Spokane, I've seen people walking down the street, a couple, man and woman. I don't know them, but from outward appearances, it appears they are together. They probably don't have much in the way of worldly possessions, but they have each other, and she looks like she'd follow him anywhere. So that's interesting. Whereas, by contrast, you will find sort of the opposite. You know, these two seem like polar. They have a polarity issue where they're sort of repelled by one another, in spite of the fact that they seem to have it all, or, you know, quite a bit of whatever all the world tells us we should have. And so that's interesting. There's also the example that I think many of us have seen of the guy who, gosh, man, he just does his own thing, and a lot of the time, it doesn't seem like the right thing, but she's glued to him too, and that, so that's an interesting thing that I think these are things that to me I sort of think about and think are interesting to investigate sometimes. You just wonder when it seems like, according to, you know, by all conventional standards and from all outward appearances, it would seem like this wouldn't work. What's making this work? What is holding this together, or what's pulling this apart? There's just interesting things to sort of look in on, I think. So the subject of marriage, a couple more things real quick. You know, when you think about the forces that have been brought to bear on the American family to break down that integrity, to sort of destroy the integrity. And along with that, you know, having Ephesians 5 says this: "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body." And so this is one of those places where I get the picture of marriage being the image of Christ, or in the image of Christ, and sort of being able to bring that to earth in a sense. "But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything," to their husbands, which is also another interesting discussion. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body." So, you know, and then that Genesis 2:24 again: "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." It's interesting how that is broken down, I suppose. And in today's America, we are fed a certain narrative. And basically, women are told that, you know, men are not supposed to be too masculine, because if you're too masculine, that's toxic masculinity. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you're a man who provides for and protects your family, hopefully that's not a bad thing. But we live in an era of the deterioration, the degradation, the evisceration of masculinity, to the extent that it provides protection for the kind of integrity that I was referring to. And it provides protection for women in a certain context, and children. And that's part of what I'm getting to. So anyway, you have this picture in Ephesians 5 of marriage, and that's very inflammatory to folks in, you know, according to contemporary wisdom, which I think is an oxymoron in America these days. You know, women are emancipated, and that's great. And the message is, internal battle that wages, you know, for some women who in there somewhere, the voice says, you know, I don't need one, but I want one. And so there's this battle because of the conflating of terms and the way that we're led to believe certain things that are just frankly dishonest and manipulative and destructive. So I would offer a different perspective. And there are examples. I haven't gotten into them. Who knows? Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But some of the examples of when things are not quite right, you know, what Deborah says in the book of Judges, when she is asked to do things that she shouldn't do. She's basically asked to do a man's job, so to speak. I know that's probably offensive to the Gloria Steinems, but she is she's called upon to do a man's job, and that's kind of how she puts it. And she says, okay, well, you know, I'll do it. I'm not supposed to, but I'll do it, and it's not going to go well, and it doesn't go well. Michael, well, I'll get back to that in a second. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, you know, the story of Elijah, God or Baal on Mount Carmel. You know, after he calls fire down from heaven and she chases him out of town, as I heard one pastor preach it, one witchy woman drives this prophet, you know, into the wilderness. So that was a powerful statement. So Michael, Saul's daughter, sort of, you know, speaking of the issues that get back to what Jesse Lee Peterson was talking about. And in contrast to that, Abigail is a beautiful example. You know, when there's the issue, Nabal is an idiot. Actually, that's what his name means. And when David sends guys to say, hey, we've been protecting your flocks and everything, we could use a little help. And Nabal says, who is the son of Jesse? And the Bible doesn't indicate that the messengers, the emissaries, said son of Jesse. So obviously he knows and he's lying. And word gets back to David. David's response immediately is, get your swords. And these are not the guys you want to upset. So David's headed to kill everything and everyone, obviously. And Abigail intercepts him on the way and basically prays an amazing blessing when she intercepts him. And so naturally, when word gets back to David that Nabal has died of a heart attack or something like that, he immediately sends word to Abigail, hey, you know, if you're not doing anything, I'd like to marry you. So that's kind of interesting. But the real quintessential different example is a picture to me of father of the bride sort of thing. You know, the subject of arranged marriages was discussed today. And, you know, like John said, depends on who's doing the arranging. Well, fathers used to be involved in that. This is an important subject, and I think maybe I'll start on this tomorrow. Numbers chapter 30, if you're not familiar, I'm telling you, it's very interesting. It's something to ponder, in my humble estimation. Anyway, it was an interesting broadcast today in a variety of ways and for a variety of reasons, but I do apologize for the technical difficulties, and I thank you for and appreciate your patience. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.